But I know this is a message that God gave to me. And it kind of, it's this way. In one hand, it's God was rebuking me for something. And then the other hand, God was giving me some encouragement. And I hope that this message hits you the same way. You feel a little burnt and rebuked, but you leave feeling, wow, I feel so encouraged. So I want you to get that in your mind. Well, the title of the message is, How Could I Not Believe? Do we have it up on there? Nope. Okay. How could we not believe? Well, there's so many instances in my life where I'm like, God, I feel so down. I feel really depressed. And that's where this thought came from. I was having a really tough time, stressful time at work. I was having a really, really hard time with Daniel. And I was just asking and praying and praying and praying. I said, God, you aren't listening to me. You're not answering my prayers. I need a miracle. I need it. And it wasn't coming. And then I just said, you know what? I give up. I'm just going to stop believing that this will ever happen. For you, those of you that haven't seen Daniel in a while, he's getting slowly better, but it's still a battle. Don't cry. And so sometimes I give up. I feel like I've prayed for almost 17 years. She's going to be 17 in October. Pray for almost 17 years for this miracle to happen, and I haven't seen it happen. So I'll be honest, preacher's wife, almost licensed minister, woo, I almost gave up completely and just said, I can't. It's not going to happen. And that's when God rebuked me. And he was like, look at all the things I've done for you in your life. I have given you miracle after miracle. How could you not believe? And I just kind of burst out crying when that happened. And then Sarah came home from summer camp with this. And it says, God will heal people when it's time. So we have to believe it's his time. And when you believe, he can do anything. And I was like, wow, that's a confirmation. God has already rebuked me for not believing he can do it. And then he gives me this encouragement that I can do it. But am I believing and am I trusting? And another part that's not on here, because Sarah's not as mature as I would want her to be at age 9. You know, but it needs to say, in God's timing, when it's God's perfect time. Amen? So I started thinking about that phrase, how could I not believe? So let's look in the Bible at some scriptures where you've probably read it before and you think, wow, those people were crazy. They didn't believe that God could do it. Look at all the things they've seen. Well, here's some examples in the Bible. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 13. And we'll start at verse 17. So as you're finding Exodus 13, verse 17. Sorry, chapter 13, verse 17. It's the background on this is that Moses has just led them out of Egypt. They saw 10 plagues, 10 miracles in itself. 10 miracles. And they're out in the desert, finally free after generations. And they start to not believe. And they start acting just like we do. We give up and we don't believe. And in verse 17 it says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert toward the Red Sea. Verse 20 says, and after leaving Succoth, they encamped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. They always had God's presence. So that's another miracle. But here's where we get into the I don't believe again. And we're going to go into Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. So they've seen all those miracles. They've seen literally the light of God leading them. And to me, I'm like, if I'd seen something that incredible, I would have no doubt that God can do anything. But they're humans just like us. And in verse 8, they say, the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that they pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they encamped at the sea near Pi-Hahiroth. Forgive me if I don't know how to pronounce that. Opposite Baal Zephon. Verse 10 says, and Pharaoh approached the Israelites, looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, and here's where their disbelief totally went in the tank. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. When I would read that growing up, I would be like, those people are insane. They don't believe that God's going to save them. Look at all the things he just did. How can you not believe? But when I read it now, after God rebuking me, I'm like, I probably would have done the same thing. I would have been like, Moses, why did you bring me out here to die? I could have died in my own little bed. But no, now I'm over here. So when I read the Bible now, I am not going to be critical that someone didn't believe, because I'm thinking, would I have done the same thing? Because we weren't comfortable, and now we're having to face another challenge. So here's where God steps in, and let's go to verse 13. It said, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. And in Alyssa's version, I put, be still and trust that it can happen. I will believe that he can do anything. So then Moses goes on in verse 15. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? And I was thinking, why are you crying out to me? Don't you believe I'm going to do it anyway? So God's probably thinking, you people just don't get it. He says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Move on, Alyssa. Move on, church. Believe that I'm going to take you out of this. And verse 16 says, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. And I caught that word. And I will gain glory. Every time we have a miracle in our lives, God's getting the glory. Amen. And God's giving Moses a little cue here. It's not going to be what you're doing, Moses. It's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to work through you. Then verse 18 says, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of the Lord, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other. So neither went near the other all night. And this also gave me a little clue of how amazing God is. The darkness might be coming behind you, but God's light is always going to be between you and the darkness, as long as you seek him. Amen? So that's one instance where I think, how could the Israelites complain so much? How could they not believe that God could do it? Well, here's one more. We're going to go to Exodus 16, 1 through 8. Oh, I didn't finish that part. Hold on. Go back. Sorry. We're going to go back to Exodus 14. We didn't finish the story. Go back. We're going to go back to verse 21. We just knew the darkness was there. We didn't know what happened yet. Spoiler alert, here comes the miracle. Verse 21 says, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Now, I think they've had, 10, 12 miracles that they've seen already? And these Israelites still come to another challenge, and they lose their belief when they run out of food. But think about our lives. God gives us a miracle, and we're like, yes, praise God, and we're on a high, until the next challenge comes, and we're like, oh, I can't. God's not going to answer my prayer. I can't do this. And we give up, and our belief and our faith is crushed. Well, let's see what God does for Moses and the Israelites. Even though they still complain, they still give up. God doesn't forget. Exodus 16, verse 1 says, the whole Israelite community set out for Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt. Now keep in mind, they've only been out of Egypt for 2 months, and they've seen the Red Sea divided. Pretty incredible miracle right there. But they've only been out of Egypt for 2 months. And in the desert, while the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There went their faith again. There went their belief. How could they not believe that God's going to take care of them? He just divided the Red Sea, and it's only been 2 months, and they've already lost faith. But God is an amazing God, and he says, okay, I made a promise to you that I would take you to the promised land. I'm going to forgive your grumbling and your annoying little disbelief, and I'm going to show you one more miracle. And then in verse 2, let's read that again. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Verse 6 says, so Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, in the evening, you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt. How could you not believe? And in the morning, you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when he gives you the meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? Who are you for not grumbling, but against the Lord? So the Lord did it. He said, I see that you don't believe me, but I'm going to feed you because I promised you, I made a promise to you, and you're not going to die in the desert. Well, you know the story. They do eventually get to the promised land. But there were so many times when I was a kid, especially learning in Sunday school about these stories, I would think, those people are so stupid. Why did they not believe God was going to take care of them? And then I'm like, oh, as an adult, I do the exact same thing. So I want to show some pictures right now. And I will probably cry. That's okay. I'm an emotional person. So those stories in the Bible where people didn't believe, God reminded me of these things. Can you show that first picture, Casey? Oh. If you don't know who that is and you can't tell, that's my mom and me. Oh, there goes the ahs. That's my mom and I. And you can't tell very well, but under my blanket, there's tons of wires and plugs. Because my mom got massive blood clots in her legs when she was only a couple months pregnant with me, and she got rushed and put in the hospital. Then about a week or so before I was born, she had a massive cardiac arrest and was dead for 9 minutes. So when the doctors revived my mom, they're like, this baby has to be born soon. So about a week later, they're like, Miss Green, it's time. And they told my dad, Mr. Green, this is incredibly high risk. Your wife has been on blood thinners for her blood clots. We've given her so much medication. We don't know what's going to happen when this baby's born. We have probably 100% chance that one of them's not going to make it. So here's a form. You need to consent. Do we save your wife or do we save your child? It's one or the other. And my dad, being a strong Christian, he said, no. I'm not signing it. If one of them's going to go, it's God's decision. But I believe that they're both going to make it. Miracle. Amen? Amen. And my brother always jokes, Alyssa, you didn't make that completely unscathed. Your brain's not all there. And I tell him, really? Tell him, really? I got two masters. What do you got? I got 2 master's degrees. So that's one huge miracle in itself, that I'm even alive. Amen. Let's go to the next picture. Any guess who that is? It's Sarah. They're baby pictures. We always have to look at the date because it's like, who's who? But this one is Sarah. And this is another miracle that doctors just can't explain. Sarah was born with 2 holes in her heart. And by the time she was 4 months old, they completely closed. We didn't have to worry about surgery. And back when we were in the hospital the day after she was born, they kept telling us, you're going to be dismissed, but the baby's not ready. She's still in the NICU. Okay. So they finally had a heart specialist come talk to us, and they said, she's got 2 holes in her heart. And I don't know, I think I went blank after that. Because I was like, God, why did you give me this baby if you're going to take her away already? Our first little girl died at birth. How could this happen again? But Elias and I were like, nope, not going to happen. And we believed, we prayed. We went to specialists, we went to the surgeons, we went everywhere. And by the time we even went to the, let me back up. The first time we even went to the first appointment, it was the same heart specialist. Is my mic going out? Yeah, it's already off. All right, we'll go with this one. The same heart specialist that saw her at the hospital was the same one that saw her at his clinic. And he says, wow, they've already closed a little bit. They're not as big as they were. We're like, praise God. He said, so let's just give it some time. Come back in a few weeks. We went back. He says, they've closed a little bit more. He says, I don't think we're going to have to do any surgery, but let's just wait a couple more weeks. We went back again. He's like, they've closed. And I was like, oh my God, hallelujah, we're not going to lose this baby. And if you know any, if you've spent time with Sarah, you know she is a bundle of life. And there is nothing wrong with that child other than no filter. It just says whatever she thinks. But that was another miracle. Her heart is fine and healthy. Now, this one I'm probably going to get the most emotional about because this one was the longest span of time. You want to show that next one? Oh, I can't see it. Let me turn off the light. Nope. There. This was Casey when she was 12. And she had to have a massive surgery to correct her spine because she had scoliosis and part of her spine had curved so fast within a few weeks it was crushing her lung. And the doctors told us if she doesn't have surgery, she won't make it to the age of 30. And he says, I don't even know how much time she would have, but she'd be gone by 30. And she was 12. And we said, God, oh my God, how can this happen? So she went in for her surgery. Surgery went worse than the doctor thought. He'd also given us, I think, a 50-50 chance that she would be paralyzed or not. When she came out, she wasn't paralyzed. She was feisty. But they'd also had to give her five blood transfusions. And she was in ICU with these massive, like, I don't know what you call those, Michelle, tubes down her neck in case she went into cold blue or whatever that is, and they had to give her medication and take her right back into surgery. So she had that for 8 days. And she wouldn't eat. She was getting fluid in her lungs. She said, I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. Just let me die. But God turned that around in her head, and she started fighting. And God saved her life. And of course, you all know she's still here. Driving us all crazy. And there's a second part to that. That's her first surgery. She had to have a second surgery because the first one didn't go as well. And I don't think I've talked to Casey about this much, so Casey, just grin and bear it. Was that the same day they scheduled her next surgery to do this completely over again, again, with the we don't know if she's going to be paralyzed or not. It was the same day that her big sister passed away. And the devil tormented me for weeks when we knew what the surgery date was. He's like, you're going to lose your second child on the same day you lost your first one. And I just couldn't handle it. The first surgery, I was very strong in the Lord, believing that he was going to take care of everything. The second one, I was a basket case. But when Casey came out of the surgery and they're like, oh, look at her x-ray. Her spine looks so good. And all I could see was like 56 staples down that poor child's back. And all these metal rods and pins and screws. But I said, okay, God, okay. She's alive. I'm going to believe that you can take care of this. And he did. She made a full recovery. She's such an amazing kid that now she's going to college. Okay, I'm going to die here. She's going to college. And she's an amazing person, not just smarts, but also her willing to serve and do everything she can for the church. And that's a true blessing. So those are just three miracles in my life where God said, remember what I've done for you? How could you be at a point where you can't believe that I can do anything? And I crumbled and I said, Lord, you're right. Why am I not believing you? There we go. So the Lord's like, how can you not believe? And then I started thinking, I'm such a dumb human that I have allowed the passing of time, like, oh, that was so long ago, that I've allowed that to fade out the magnitude, the amazing thing that God has done for me. So God rebuked me. How can you forget? How are you not believing that I can bring any good that I want into your life? I can answer any prayer for you that I want. And then he said, I'm not going to give up on my promises to you. If you pray and you ask, it will be done in my time. Casey may have been there. Okay, so that may have been Casey. God's answered all these prayers in my life, and I believe that this is going to be the next one. Daniel's healing, where the grip of autism is no longer going to hold his mouth shut, is no longer going to hold him in a jail in his own mind where he can't communicate and be part of our lives. Since this is the hardest one for me, this is the one that the devil's always telling me it's not going to happen. He got diagnosed when he was 4. He's going to be 17. This is the longest time I've had to pray for anything. Casey's surgeries lasted a year, and she was okay. Sarah's heart was about 6 months. She was okay. Mom and Dad, 9 months, and it was okay. This has been 13 years. And I'm going to say in front of you all today, I'm not going to lose faith again. And I want to just encourage you that God's going to do it. Whatever your prayer is, you might think it's a little thing. You might think it's a massive thing. Whatever it is, God will do it. Amen? We just need to have the faith and the trust and the belief that he will do it. And I love that picture of Daniel. He's got little shamrocks on his head because it was St. Patrick's Day. And it's the only picture we have where he's totally smiling and not going, jeez, you know, with that grit fake smile. So Casey pulled that one up because I believe that's where he's going to be. He's going to be filled with joy and no more frustration. Amen. And for the other miracles you've given us in our lives, we thank you. And we will not forget. And we will look to the future, Lord God, with excitement for the more miracles to come. For the miracles in this congregation, because we're not just folks that come to a church, but we are family. And we pray for one another's needs. And Father, we look forward to hearing those stories of this family coming and saying, God has answered my prayer. Here is the miracle that he has given me. We believe, Lord God, that as we seek and we hunger after you more and more each day, that the devil won't be able to hold those miracles back anymore. And your perfect timing and your plan will be followed. And Lord God, I pray that if we have to wait longer than we want for the miracle to come, that we don't forget that you keep your promises and it will come to pass. We just need to not give up the fight and keep praying and getting on our knees and praying to you, Father. Because only you can answer these prayers. We put our faith and our hope in you, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated.